Good morning. Oh, for a small congregation, we're still a chatty bunch, and I love it. I love it. If we truly believe the words of the psalmist that we say at our blessing quite often at the end, that the Lord is beside, the Lord is above, the Lord is within, the Lord is beneath and before us, then it stands to reason that we would believe that surely the Lord is in this place. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The Lord is truly in this place. And so welcome to all of you who are here. If we have visitors this morning, and quite often, once the service has started, we will have someone walk in the back, and I have not greeted them. So if you hear me greeting visitors at the middle of the service, it's because they have come in and you haven't seen them. If that's the case, still make sure that you take the time to welcome them here to Eastminster. Make sure you fill out the pads this morning. And I think we have just a few announcements. I think Charlotte, you want to go ahead and come? And Bruce.
Just here for the show.
You just stand right there.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I looked for a cute little girl to model this backpack, and this is what I got. If you've been in any retail establishment in the last 2 weeks, you know that it is time for back to school. I'll wait while the teachers do a collective groan. But I wanted to talk to you about what PCHAS is doing this year with the school supplies, because it's a little bit different than what we've done before. You have this insert that Chandra prepared for you, and this is what PCHAS is asking, is that we stuff backpacks this year. So I wanted to show, everyone sees the backpack, dear. Come stand over here. I want to show you, though, what you can get for two trips to Starbucks, or a pedicure, or one evening out at a fast food restaurant for one person. I teach older kids, and their school supplies are boring. Now, they're the first things on the list there, and I'm telling you, they really need those things, but they're boring. I teach the kids who walk in and go, how come I have to be here? I'm never going to use this. At which point I say, sure you are, because you want to graduate. But for little kids, imagine this person shorter with pigtails in some cute little pink sneakers and little bows, okay? I didn't make him put his hair in a bow, but if he insults my phone again, you never know what's going to happen. So here's what you put in this cute little backpack for little people. You get two packages of paper, wide ruled. Now here's the cool part. They want spirals, but look what I did. My spirals match my backpack. Isn't that cool? Okay, wait.
Probably your shoes as well.
No, we're talking about shoes in a minute. Markers, because everyone needs to be able to draw on the kid sitting next to him. Glue sticks, which the kids I teach are never allowed to have. See, he's got two pockets. Isn't that neat? Wait for it. Pencils that what? Match the backpack. Again, pigtails, cute little shoes, not this dude. My scissors, again, grown children are not allowed to have scissors. I don't care what it says on the list, not scissors. But for little people, and they what?
Match
the backpack, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, everybody's favorite, I haven't been buying the crayons because I didn't know if they wanted them. Well, they want the crayons. And you can pick these up for 50 cents a box. I'm not kidding. 50 cents a box. Now, if you want to buy the big fat ones, like really the little kindergartners ought to use, for some reason those are $2.47 a box. Go figure. I don't know. This whole thing cost me $8.47. Yeah, because I'm a heck of a shopper. And Walmart hasn't even started their sales yet. This paper is going to be like 12 cents a package in about a week. Now, we joke about this because it's really not very expensive. You can take the backpack off now, dear. I know. It's really not very expensive. But if you've got four or five kids in your family, it is expensive. And if you don't believe me, just go stand on the school supply aisle at about 10 in the morning and listen to the parents who are going through their school supply lists like I did this on purpose. It's expensive. And so for less than $10, for two trips to Starbucks, I spent less on this than I did. I spent twice as much on my pedicure as I did on this backpack. So what we're asking is that you... It was a good pedicure. What we're asking is that you fill up a backpack. Your list is here. Fill up a backpack, bring it to church, and let us help these kids at PCHAS get themselves started really, really well on school. Now, that goes along with our continuing school shoe drive. Because cute shoes, only Laura Bennett understands better than I do the importance of cute shoes. We want to get those shoes and socks into those kids' hands as well. I started school with everything I could possibly need to be successful, including the little pigtails and all those things that had, you know, fallen out of my hair by lunch. It's important that the kids start with what they need. Now, for those of you who are saying, well, okay, so you want me to spend $30 on shoes, and then you want me to spend $10 on a backpack, here's Jennifer Gailey's idea, and it's stunning. If I wasn't in church, I'd have taken credit for it myself. Make it a work project. You office with four or five people, you guys go together and skip Starbucks one day, or Katie can skip her tortilla soup on Wednesdays and grab a backpack. Or encourage your coworkers to help you put together a pair of shoes and socks for a kid who doesn't have shoes and socks. It really is a lot more important, and the teachers in the building will nod. When a kid comes to school and he's ready to go, he feels differently about himself. They know when they don't have what they need. So we're asking you, we're 11 pairs of shoes away from our goal. 11. We can do that today. And then when the Walmart sales start next week and this stuff that I paid $8.47 for goes down to $5.47, we can buy a couple of backpacks too. We're asking a lot, but we've been given a lot. So. $25. We have to pass Staples on the way home.
Yes, ma'am.
We do.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
I want to break the crayons.
No, I don't break the crayons.
Got that. Okay.
Got it.
Thank you, ma'am. You got it. Thank you, Charlotte.
Sure, thank you. I want to thank everybody for their support of the ice cream social yesterday. We had such a great time, and a special thanks goes to our homemade entries. Janelle had chocolate, Tom had coffee fudge delight, Christine had Snicker bar, and Linda had the most wonderful strawberry sorbet ever. And a lot of folks brought some Bluebell. It wasn't quite as good, but it's a good thing they did, because I think we just had a little bit of chocolate left when everything was over. And of course, what really helps make it such a great annual athletic event is the watermelon seed spitting contest, and we've got such great competitors in our neighborhood and church. But thank you all competing, and look forward to seeing you again next year.
My first time spitting seeds, and I hit over 10 feet, so I am a happy camper. So, along with our welcomes, we want to say a big welcome to Barbara Clark this morning, who is sitting in for Melody this morning. And so, Barbara, it is really good to have you with us this morning. Last but not least, two final things. Confirmation began actually this morning during Sunday school. We have a wonderful group of young people who are going to learn, and some of our other confirmants who are going to help teach and lead. And Christine, Kathy, myself, and Carrie Blair will take them this evening to the Blair Lake House, where we will do our retreat and enjoy one another's company coming off of a very busy mission trip and Synod Youth Workshop. So keep these young people in your prayers, and we will be contacting you about being a prayer partner for them as they continue this journey. And August 13th, as you leave today, you will notice that there are signs on the doors that tell us about the schedule for August 13th. For one Sunday, in the summer, we're going to shake it up. It is a little bit different. It's a lot different, actually. But it will give us a chance. We sit and worship so often, and we look at the back of each other's heads. And it will just be nice to be able to sing together, to pray together, to confess together, while we are sitting facing face to face. And so I hope that you will come, spread the word as far and as fast as you can that it is a little bit different. And we are putting things in our neighborhood newsletter and on their website to let any visitors know that the timing is a little bit different. So if they happen to show up at 11 o'clock, they can still come and be part of what we have left at 11. But if you know of someone that would like to come, please let them know, and we will just keep sending out reminders like Christmas caroling in December. Did I get it? Good. Okay. Our prayer list, you see those that are on there. Blair is at home. He is tiring very easily, so they're asking, not that he not have visitors, but you call before you do go. And Betty Clark, bless her heart, she always calls and asks for an update. She said, quite often we pray and we never know what happens. So for my friend Jan, she is still doing experimental chemo. Hopefully our 40th high school reunion, it's hard to say, our 40th high school reunion is the last weekend in September, and our collective prayer as a class is that Jan will be able to be there. And so I ask that you keep praying. My niece Ashley is still in Zimbabwe. Her project was extended to the end of the year. She is doing well. My neighbor's son, Jake, is actually on crutches now. They are keeping the kids while Jake is recovering. That is good news. And Katie and Ryan's father-in-law, Danny, is still taking chemo. So I think that covers. That is wonderful news. ALS is not something you want to go through alone, for sure. Jacob? George went home. We asked for prayers for George last week. I know I've taken an extended amount of time, which you all are hoping that means my sermon is like this long. So I will try to do that for you this morning. But We are gathered here. The presence of the Lord is in this place. I invite you to join me together as we pray.
We turn toward you in gratitude, seeking to love as we have been loved, and pray that this time of worship will be a worthy offering of praise and thanksgiving for the way you lay your guiding hand on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Oh God, you know us inside and out, through and through. You know what we are going to say even before we speak.
We praise you, Lord God, with all our
knowledge. That whoever we are and wherever we go, you are with us. Amen. Please be seated. In confessing our sin before God, we may find comfort, hope, and forgiveness.
These wonderful words from 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything that was old has passed away, and now everything has been made new. We have been reconciled. We have been set right. We have been made whole again in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Will you pray with me? O Lord our God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth and faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. A lot has happened in the Old Testament reading from last week to this. Esau has given up his birthright. Jacob has been blessed by Isaac. And Isaac has told Jacob not to marry a Canaanite, but to marry a daughter of Laban. Beginning in the 28th chapter, verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you, and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. This ends the reading of the Old Testament.
Every time I feel
This morning, the New Testament reading is from Matthew's Gospel, and I am going to read pieces of this. So I'm going to begin with the 24th verse, and I will go to the 30th verse, and then I will pick up after that. So if you want to follow in your pew Bible on page 14. Jesus told this parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed a good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and they said to him, "Master, do you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" And Jesus answered, "An enemy has done this." So the slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go out and to gather them up?" But the farmer replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And then at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in a bundle to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" He goes on to tell the parable of the mustard seed, to tell the parable of the yeast and the woman. And then picking back up in verse 30, the latter part of verse 36, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds and the field." And so Jesus answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up for fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect for out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers, and they will throw them into a furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let everyone with ears listen." The end of the reading. "The grass withers.
Thank you.
a mother and her young son were driving to church one Sunday, and the son said to his mother, "Mom, if God created the earth and me and Adam and Eve, who created God?" She said, "Well, I'll tell you what. When we get to church, you ask Pastor Steve." And he did. He went to Pastor Steve and he said, "Okay, who created God?" "Well, nobody," said Pastor Steve. So the question has been asked. There has been an answer. End of story, right? Oh, no. We're talking about a kindergarten kid. No way. And so there's more questions. And he just looked at the pastor and he said, "But who made God?" He said, "But you know, God's always been there. But who was before God?" And finally, Pastor Steve had to honestly say, "I don't know. I don't know." And you know what? That is okay. Little boy looked at him, though, and he said, "Well, you know what? My mama said, he can't tell you who made God. He doesn't know." And the pastor said, "She's right. I don't know." And he said, "No, she means you don't know anything." Which is more true than we like to admit. Questions are hard sometimes. Answers are even harder. There are times when I think our answers can only come from God. And in today's lesson, this question has come up about the kingdom of heaven. And I will tell you, just as kind of a precursor to this, I truly believe in God's timing. I do. And I truly believe, just very recently, a friend with great wisdom and whose wisdom I admire reminded me that perhaps I really needed to be listening to this sermon instead of preaching it. And so I pray that I hear what I am saying to you this morning. The lesson, apparently, someone has said, "Okay, so how do we get into the kingdom of God?" And Jesus says, "Well, let me tell you this story about judgment, because people are thinking that they're not righteous enough. They're thinking that they're not perfect enough. They are perhaps thinking that they are not religious enough to get into heaven. And for whatever reason, Jesus says, so let's talk about this." And he does. He tells the parable. And as you have heard, there is this strange twist in the story where there are all of these wonderful seeds of wheat, and then these weeds come in. And normally, if you're a good gardener or a farmer, you're going to go pull those weeds out, aren't you, before they take everything over. But in this strange twist, the farmer says, "You know what? Leave them be. Just leave them be. Because when the harvest comes, when the end of time comes, that's for me to decide. That is for me to decide." He said, "By that time, we will know who is a weed and who is a wheat, and I, God, will take care of that." It's a simple story. It's hard to hear, though. Jesus reminds us that judging isn't part of kingdom living, at least kingdom living here on earth. And the judging that will come is going to come in God's time. There's no getting around the fact, I think, that much judgment and much criticism and much angst and much anxiety, that's hard to say, much anxiety, have invaded our world. And I go about trying to figure out who's the weed and who's the wheat. Like a good farmer, then, there's all this time spent strategizing on how we're going to eradicate the weed. How do we get rid of it? What are we going to do with it? We're going to pull them up. We're going to pluck them. And guess what? If we get rid of that weed, we're going to have the perfect garden. We're going to have the perfect place of employment. We're going to have the perfect family. We're going to have the perfect church. There are a whole lot of great lines in the movie, A River Runs Through It. But one of my favorite and one that I think actually speaks to this lesson today from Jesus are from the Presbyterian pastor, the father in the movie. And he says, I only know two things for certain in life. There is a God. I am not God. There is a God, and I am not God. There are many times when we see a person on the outside, according to the gardener, that we see them as a weed, and yet Jesus says, you know what? You don't have enough information to pull them up, to pluck them out, to send them on their way. It is not ours to be ousting. Jesus reminds us that weeds and even the weediest people that we know are of great value. God has taken the patience and God has given the grace that with time, those worrisome weeds truly have the chance to become grace-filled grain. It is by God's grace that what is good inside of us, the produce that is good, is what God is constantly trying to harvest. So please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. Please be patient. God isn't finished with you or you or you or you or you. Or you yet. Each one of us has more weeds in our lives than we care to admit, and thank goodness God already knows that. And God is still willing to nurture us in this process we call life. God is willing to work through all of the weeds of our lives, the sins of our lives, and bring us to that place of harvest, to that grain of wheat that we know to be the whole person that God has made us to be. God never says, oh, that garden has just gone to the weeds. I think I'll just leave it alone, not mess with it, not worth my time. I am grateful that God is giving me time, giving ing, giving me time to nurture, to be nurtured, giving me time to be surrounded by incredible people of grace and faith. I am grateful that God has not given up on me yet. And the point of this parable is that we are not to give up on each other either. I'm convinced this parable comes to life at Synod Youth Workshop. There are so many of our young people, those little maturing young seeds, who come to this place we call Synod Youth Workshop. And they think they're weeds. They have been told that by their school. They've been told that by their friends. They've been told by adults. And I think in this congregation, not just at Synod, in this congregation, sometimes you come into this place and you still feel like a weed. Someone has told you that you are, or someone has made you feel like you are. God says the kingdom of heaven is not like that garden. and for that time that these young people meet. And I pray for the time that all of you who have known one another for a long time, my prayer is that we will continue to give these young people time for God to work on those weeds in their lives, and that all of us together here who know so much about one another will remember that inside each and every one of us there is a good seed that was planted, and God is still nurturing that, and in the end it will be God who says, you are weed or you are wheat. It is a labor of love for God. Love the sinner. Hate the sin. Call people into accountability for their actions, but also be willing to forgive. Look for the good more than you look for the bad. This ought to be true in the church because it is not true in the world. And we're different than the world. The Lord is in this place. And when you leave this place, the Lord is in you. And wherever you are, the Lord is in that place also. The kingdom of heaven has been lovingly created for us by God. We are people who are deeply aware of our sin, and yet we are people who are deeply aware that in Jesus Christ we have been forgiven. And there are others in the world who are not aware of that, and because of that, it is up to us to keep sharing the lesson, to keep telling the parable, to keep living the story. If God created the earth, me, Adam, and Eve, who created God? It is an appropriate question for that young man to ask, but he's asking the wrong person. With his curiosity, as it is, I think, with all of our questions when it comes to faith, God knows the answer, and it is okay that we don't. We call that faith. It's okay that we weeds live together with one another, trusting that the gardening needs of our lives are being taken care by the master gardener who loves us, weeds and all. Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord will be with me and with you when we leave this place. And surely the Lord is in the world, tending to every weed in our life, and also at the same time making sure that every good seed in us is nurtured so that we can become whole and healthy and incredible stalks of wheat. Love one another enough to be accountable. Love one another enough to forgive. Love one another enough to let the weeds grow just a little longer, because God's got it. Amen.
Let us stand and say what we believe using the words from the bulletin.
Thank you.
How many of you are tired of the heat? How many of you are tired of the traffic? How many of you are tired of worrying? I think we all are. The wonderful thing is, in all of our worries, in all of the things that life throws at us, in all of the sickness, in all of the trials, in all of the weeds that come and wrap around us, the one thing that we know is when we go to God in prayer, we may not get what we ask for, but we certainly are given what God provides us for the goodness of our own lives. I invite us this morning into a moment of silence, as Clay reminded us, to sit with God, to not think about the heat, to not think about the traffic, to not think about your worries, but instead to say, thank you, God, for letting me, the weed that I am, have all of these incredible things provided for me. Let us pray. And in a spirit of thanksgiving, in a spirit of gratefulness, in a spirit of joy, we offer this prayer that our Lord has given us, this prayer that reminds us our daily needs are taken care of, our sins are forgiven, that we are protected, and that the kingdom and the power are not ours, but they are God's. Let us join together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. That all that is within me bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and may I never, ever forget all of God's goodness. Let us join together in a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, you have grown your life in us through the gift of your Spirit, and so now accept these gifts and the service of our lives as we dedicate ourselves to trying to spread the seed of your life wherever we go and through whatever we do. In your Son's name, we ask this. Amen. Okay. Turn to one another or to multiple one another's. The Lord is with you.
The Lord is with you.
Behind you to encourage you.
Beside you to befriend you.
Above you to watch over you.
Within you.
To give you the gifts of faith, hope, and love.
Beneath you, holding you.
And always before you.
Always before you.
Showing you the way.
Showing you the way.
Amen.